This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. and the Odyssey app. Coming up in a little bit, if you missed it, we'll replay it. Phil Steele was on the show earlier today to get you ready for college football. Next week, you guys probably know this, we're going to be diving deep into the NFL. But you know what? We're letting the kiddies take over today. Missouri, Kansas, Kansas State all make their season debut this weekend. Grant, you know what? I'm going to give the first hit to you. You're a K-State fan. You told me if there was anywhere that you could be this weekend, you would be in Dallas. It sounds to me like you could go to the game for pretty cheap. Check on StubHub right now. For the cost of a double meat steak burrito bowl at Chipotle, you can go to this game. What's your hope, optimism, what's your feeling heading into tomorrow's game between Kansas State and Stanford?
Cats by double digits, for sure. You got to come in hot. Got to feel good. We got the boy back, Skylar Thompson. I'm not going to go to the game because I have to leave as soon as the show's over. But I'm excited. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
What I heard there was a fan speaking. I didn't hear a media member speaking. You made that prediction with your heart and not your head.
Absolutely.
I do think it's going to be a fun competitive game tomorrow. I think it's going to be a pretty unique environment. I do think there's going to be more K-State fans there than Stanford fans. I think a Kansas State home game is a bad way of putting it just because of how big that stadium is. I do think the K-State presence is going to be very noticeable tomorrow. Like, I think if you tune into the television broadcast tomorrow, it is going to be very noticeable. Hey, we here. K-State's in the building. We made the drive. We're here. We're here to cheer on our team. We're here to cheer on our Cats. I think that will be very apparent tomorrow if you're watching that game.
Yeah, it'll be mostly purple in the lower bowl, I think. Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys are watching or seeing this right now, but they are coming out of the tunnel right now at Virginia Tech. They're playing North Carolina, and it is packed.
Like, yeah, it is.
Absolutely packed. Right now, like, college football is back. This weekend's going to be great. Georgia Clemson is going to be great. There's seven strong games tomorrow. That's not counting today. Virginia Tech is a good team, and North Carolina is one of the 10 best teams in the country. It's going to be some great football watching here over the next 3 or 4 days. As I said, we're going to give this segment to the college kids. We'll talk a lot of NFL next week with the Chiefs starting. The start of the NFL season is on Thursday. It's a lot of time to talk some NFL. But earlier today, we were happy to be joined by Phil Steele, who covers college football. He is one of the top voices. Be sure to check out his website, philsteele.com. Also, follow him on Twitter. Also, go pick up his magazine. It is a must-own if you are a college football fan. Our conversation with Phil Steele starts with, what is it like to see the return of the sport after how weird 2020 was?
You have no idea. You know, last year after we put the magazine out, they started, some schools started canceling, schedules started changing. We had to go on philsteele.com and put the updated schedules for each team. People were printing them off and pasting them in their magazine. Some of those magazines got to about 500 pages. there, of course, when I talked to first-year head coaches last year, a lot of them hadn't even practiced with their team, so I'd send them over my team pages, and they have every player on the team, all my notes on every player and the stats, and I would say, okay, coach, put me in the right order, and some of the first-year head coaches would say, Phil, you know more about the team than I do. I haven't even seen these guys with pads on yet. And the other thing would be no crowds last year. And this year we'll be back to crowds. Schedules are stable. And every coach I talked to, and I talked to 110 to 130 head coaches, all knew their teams inside and out. So I am so excited for this upcoming season. It's great to be back to normal.
So I'll let you kind of dictate where we're going to go first in this with this opening question. What team do you think is going to have the better season? Is it Missouri in the SEC or K-State in the Big 12?
I'm going to say, boy, that's close. I think they're both going to have good seasons, and I think they're both going to go to bowl games. When I look at Missouri, you know, they've got 12 or 14 returning starters. I love what they did against a very tough SEC schedule last year. So I'm looking at them as probably about a 7-win team this year. And with Kansas State, once again, I think they can get bowl eligible. So I think both have similar type of win-loss records this year.
With that answer, Phil, let's stay in the Big 12 and focus on Kansas State. I feel like we say this every year, but I think K-State is sort of flying under the radar. You return a very experienced quarterback, a very good head coach. They have a clear identity. They get the right home games this year with Iowa State and Oklahoma. I think Kansas State is potentially an 8- or 9-win team.
Yeah, especially if they pull an upset of Iowa State or Oklahoma this year. And, you know, the big thing is, and a lot of folks don't realize this, and not, of course, K-State fans, they all realize it, but Skylar Thompson going down last year I thought was huge. When he got injured week three, you know, Will Howard came in and did a good job, but teams would stack the line, and Howard wasn't capable of beating them through the air. They had a dynamic weapon in Deuce Vaughn. They've got some dynamic receivers, Malik Knowles, Phillip Brooks. The offensive line's a veteran group. And defensively, they always play good defense at K-State. I love the fact that Coach Klieman has continued that tradition. And so this is a very dangerous team. Now, hosting Oklahoma and Iowa State sometimes is a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. If you lose those games, that means a lot of winnable games are on the road. But I think they get off to a good start this year, potentially 3-0 when they travel to Oklahoma State. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them upset the Cowboys as well. So getting off to a good start this season is going to be huge.
You mentioned the playmakers for him. I know locally he gets a lot of credit, but I feel like Deuce Vaughn's one of the better running backs in the league. What's your feeling on him this season and maybe win a couple postseason awards?
Oh, there's no doubt. And keep in mind, I'm on every postseason award committee out there, so that's a big thing to have. And with Deuce, all she had to do was watch one Kansas State game last year, and you were just amazed. This guy is a playmaker inside and out. He can hurt you. I like the fact he can run between the tackles. Once he gets outside, he's unbelievable. And then he, of course, catches the ball, and it gets the big plays. Led the team in receiving last year and averaged 18 yards per carry. He is a very dynamic playmaker, and he's definitely on my preseason list.
Right now we're talking to Phil Steele, one of the most knowledgeable college football voices in the country. Be sure to check out his website, philsteele.com. Also pick up the Legendary magazine, which they must own for any college football fan. Last question here on the Big 12. I know Oklahoma's getting a lot of the preseason love. So is Iowa State. How good do you think Iowa State can be? And when you think about the end of the season, do you think there's a chance that Iowa State can win the Big 12 and also compete in the college football playoff?
Boy, wouldn't that question have sounded pretty ludicrous back in 2016 when they hired Matt Campbell?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He has done a phenomenal job. I would have laughed if you asked me that back in 2016 and said, it can't happen at Iowa State. You know, you take a look at last year. They had a young offensive line, and that young offensive line got better each week. And this year when I talked to Coach Campbell going over the team with him, he said it's the deepest offensive line he's had and a chance to be special. Take that offensive line paired with a veteran quarterback in Brock Purdy, one of the best running backs in the country in Breece Hall, one of the best tight end rooms, if not the best tight end room in the country with Chase Allen and Charlie Kolar, and Xavier Hutchinson, an explosive wide receiver. They're dangerous. They always have one of the Big 12's top defenses. I think they are a legitimate national title contender. Now, they're going to have to get past Oklahoma on the road November 20th. That's not going to be easy. But if they were, they're going to be favored in all the rest of their games this year. So I would put them in the national title contender category this year.
Let's move to the SEC and talk about the Missouri Tigers. We alluded to them a little bit earlier. I'm a big Missouri Tiger fan myself. I was really encouraged last season with the step forward that they took with Eli Drinkwitz. What's your expectation for the Tigers this year in the SEC?
Yeah, and most first-year head coaches struggled, and rightfully so. I mean, they didn't have the benefit of spring practice, had practices disrupted in the summer, had practices disrupted in the fall. And with Coach Drinkwitz, not only was he dealt a tough eight-game SEC schedule, but when the SEC went to 10 games, they threw the defending national champ LSU and Alabama on their schedule. So that made it even more difficult. And at that time, you had to think getting to 5-5 would have been an accomplishment. But this is a team that upset that LSU team at home, 45-41, jumped out to a 5-3 record. And then COVID got them a little bit at the end of the year, especially that game against Mississippi State, or they might have finished with a winning record. So I thought Coach Drinkwitz did a fantastic job. And, you know, Connor Basilek, a quarterback last year, only had a 7-6 ratio. But talking to Coach Drinkwitz, he told me that he was rather conservative with the freshman quarterback in the red zone, and that won't happen this year. He's going to open him up a little bit more. So I think he'll be a vastly improved QB, especially number-wise when you look at touchdowns and interceptions. They do lose a really good linebacker in Nick Bolton, but guess what? They bring in Blaze Aldridge. And if you haven't followed Rice football, this guy was one of the best playmakers in CUSA. I think he steps right into that vaunted linebacker position in Missouri that's created so many stars. So this is a very good Missouri team. I think how high they finish in the SEC East depends greatly upon week two when they play Kentucky on the road. And if they can snag that one, they get Florida at home. And if they win both those games, we're talking second place. I'm not ready to put them as a contender against Georgia quite yet. Georgia's got a cake schedule this year. Their three road games are against all first-year head coaches, and they only have three SEC road games. But I think Missouri's got a shot at finishing second in the East this year.
I was just going to say, I look at Missouri's schedule, and to me, their two swing games are early in the season. They play Kentucky. That's their second week. And then they travel on the road to play Boston College in a non-con game. I think those two games and what their record is really going to define how the rest of the season goes for them.
Yeah, Boston College is not going to be easy. Phil Jurkovec is one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And while Boston College's offensive line, you look at the stats from last year, you go, oh, they weren't very good. They didn't run the ball well, and they gave up a lot of sacks. But you look at the raw talent they have. They've got five NFL-caliber guys on the offensive line. They're a unit that's going to be vastly improved this year. The defense is loaded. That's going to be a tough test at Boston College game. So that would be a major swing game. I think the conference games are probably Missouri's biggest games, at Kentucky and home against Florida, but can't argue with you there.
Right now we're talking to Phil Steele, one of the legendary college football voices. Be sure to check out the website, philsteele.com. Also, be sure to pick up the magazine, which they must own for any college football fan. Let's talk about the University of Kansas as they start a new head coach, Lance Leipold. There's some optimism in Lawrence. How do you think the season can end up for the Jayhawks?
I love the hire of Coach Leipold. What a job he did at Buffalo. And you go back to his first 2 years at Buffalo, and they weren't overwhelming. It was rebuilding time there at Buffalo, and they rebuilt. I mean, you take a look at the first 2 years going 5-7, then 2-10. Then he got to 6-6, and all of a sudden it took off. And they were one of the best teams in the MAC each of the last 3 years. I love the way that he develops a team. I mean, they do it based on a strong running game, defense, and special teams. And those were all outstanding for Buffalo last year. Now, one advantage he has is that Coach Les Miles was building the team the right way. He was using a lot of freshmen, using only freshmen, not going the JUCO route of his predecessors. And I think that sets this team up well for the future. Do I think they're going to win a lot of games? I can't go out there and say that this year. In fact, they're going to be an underdog in 11 of their 12 games. I like them to beat South Dakota in the opener, but drawing Coastal Carolina on the road, that's tough. Duke on the road is going to be a tough game as well. And then, of course, playing in the very tough Big 12. But they will be far more competitive. That's a positive thing. And I would give Lance Leipold a year or two to get this thing corrected, much like he did at Buffalo, and get this thing turned around.
I just look at Kansas this year, and I'm with you from a wins perspective. I don't know if we're at the point with Kansas football that we can say, all right, you got to go out there and win four or five games. But it's, to me, about taking a step forward. And I was somebody who liked the Les Miles hire, but it just didn't feel like he maybe gave the spark to the program that I thought he could potentially have. The buzz is there with Lance Leipold that you're sort of looking at it where this year, if you can maybe win two or three games or just simply be more competitive in Big 12 games, I think a lot of KU fans will be happy with that.
I agree, and I think they will. They definitely will be more competitive in the games because Coach Leipold will get the most out of the team. And I like the fact he brought in a couple of Buffalo transfers as well. Those guys know the system and can speak well about the job he did there, and even adding a Michigan transfer, a linebacker. So I think Kansas has got some good additions. And I like the fact that they kept their interim head coach from the spring, which was big as far as retaining the knowledge that he has of this team and Emmett Jones. So that's almost like having a second coach on the field after what he did in the spring. And hats off to Emmett Jones for taking this team. And I thought they looked pretty decent in the spring game as well.
We have to ask you a couple national questions here. Are there only three teams that can realistically win the college football championship? Is it the same Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State? Maybe an outside chance for Oklahoma, but they haven't been able to consistently compete at that level. We're talking about the other three teams in college football. How do you kind of view this season as a 1,000-foot view? Do you think it's just those three, or do you think there's a couple other teams that can kind of get into the mix?
No, I think there are definitely other teams that can get in the mix. And let me tell you, I talked to 110 of the 130 head coaches, and going over the teams with them this year, almost every coach told me the same thing. They all had 15, 16, 17 returning starters. It was the conversation would start with, you know, Phil, in the spring, we normally are scraping to put it two deep together. This year we had three full teams in the spring. Everybody is loaded with experience, and because of the rule last year, which nobody was given, or was everybody was given an extra year. The only teams that weren't in that category were the four that were in the playoffs, for crying out loud. All four of them have 9, 10, 11 returning starters. All of them lose their quarterback. So I think the pack is getting much, much closer to those big three that you mentioned. And if in fact, in the magazine, I went out on a limb and called for Oklahoma to win the national championship, and here's why. Under Lincoln Riley, you know the offense will be great, and they've got Spencer Rattler back. They've got my number one rated offensive line. They got my number two set of receivers, number four set of running backs in the country. They have the best offense in the country. Now, we've seen that game before, but in the playoffs, they've given up 54, 45, and 63 points and exited in first round each time. Now they've got 8 starters back from what was a much improved defense. Last year, they only gave up 21.7 points per game. They actually have my number three rated defensive line, led by pass rushers Isaiah Thomas and Nick Benito. They've got my number nine set of linebackers and my number three set of defensive backs. So a top five defense. They had my number 22 rated special teams. They had Michael Turk, a punter from Arizona State. That bumps them into the top 20 on special teams. I really believe they are a complete team, and unlike the last year's playoff teams, they've got 15 returning starters and a veteran quarterback. I think Oklahoma breaks through and wins its first national title since 2000.
That is Phil Steele, who is picking the Oklahoma Sooners to win the national championship. I want to say going out on a limb, but it's crazy to think that for a team that's preseason top five.
Yeah, but they haven't won a national title since 2000. So, you know, I pretty much went with chalk for my top four teams, but they have not won a national title since 2000.
That is Phil Steele joining us on the show. Be sure to go pick up his magazine. Also, check out the website, philsteele.com. He is also a must-follow on the Twitter machine as well. Phil, it's an honor to talk college football with you. Thanks a lot for hopping on with us today.
Hey, a lot of fun talking football with you. And if you want to follow along on Twitter, it's at philsteele042. That's at philsteele042. And you can find out all the locations right there in the Kansas City area that you could scoop up the magazine. Just go right to the top of at philsteele042. But great talking football with you. Always enjoy talking football in your area.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate your time.
Right now on ESPN, North Carolina is playing Virginia Tech. North Carolina is a 10th-ranked team in the country. They're going on the road to play Virginia Tech, and they are active right now, Virginia Tech. There is not a seat to be had in that place. Whatever their capacity is, they are there. Virginia Tech has certainly shown out today. The energy is extremely high. They went down the field like a hot knife through butter and scored on North Carolina to 7-0 very early in the game. Just wanted to give you guys an update. College football is in the air. So earlier today, our boss asked us a question. We were just kind of sitting around just talking. And he said, if I gave you $1,000, where would you go this weekend? And I said, Georgia Clemson is where I would be. It's the best college football game. I think it's going to be a tremendous environment. really competitive game. Two very evenly matched teams. I think Georgia-Clemson is going to be a lot of fun. Grant, diehard K-State fan, loves them. That's his favorite team. He said, I would do anything to be in Dallas this weekend to watch my Cats. And it got me thinking. There's a lot of different teams here in the area. There's the Royals, the Chiefs, KU basketball, football, K-State, Mizzou, the women's soccer team, Sporting. There's a lot of teams here in this area. Very passionate fan bases. None of us are passionate the way K-State fans are passionate, though. K-State fans are the best of us. They're the best of us. I cheer for Missouri. Missouri is the only team I would legitimately consider myself to be a fan of. I want the Chiefs to do well. I want the Royals to do well. The only team I get emotionally invested with still is Missouri. Missouri fans are not nearly as loyal as K-State fans. K-State fans are, hey, you know what? 35,000 of us are going down here. We're going to have events. It's going to be packed. You're going to feel our presence. You got to prod Missouri fans to go out to games. We talk ourselves out of going to games. I mean, the weather, I mean, they're playing at 2:30. Why couldn't they play at 6? You know, I mean, I'll just stay at home and watch it on television. I've done those things myself with Missouri. I've talked myself out of going to more Missouri games than I've gone to Missouri games. This weekend, they play Central Michigan. I have no interest. No interest in going to the game. I wouldn't go if it was free. I don't know if I'd go if it was free and I had a ride.
You wouldn't go if it was free?
I don't have any interest in going to the game. I'll certainly watch the game. I'll be locked into the game. No interest in going. Great fan bases, especially in college. You're out there regardless. You're playing Fordham or Florida. We're there. That ain't the way Missouri fans are. KU fans. I'm not saying you're fickle the same way that Missouri fans are fickle, and we're a fickle bunch. For a basketball program with as much success as you are, you guys are very woe is me at times. You guys are very woe. This is Bill's worst team. This team's not good. You guys are very woe is me. Royals fans, come on now. You're not in this conversation. You're not nearly as loyal as K-State fans are. Now, I will say this about Chiefs fans. Chiefs fans are as passionate as K-State fans are. I do think they're a very loyal bunch. I do think, though, Chiefs fans have a very Mizzou fan tendency to turn on their own. Now, MU circle of trust, real small, and our fuse is very short. It doesn't take much for me to watch the game for me to think Missouri's going to lose. Missouri could be down 7-0 at the end of the first quarter on Saturday, and I'll think they're about to lose the game because that's what they typically do. It doesn't take much for the fuse to get lit for a Missouri fan. It takes a little bit longer for a Chiefs fan. But once you get out of the circle, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're out. Frank Clark right now, he's out of the circle. He doesn't have that sort of protection that Chiefs Kingdom gives you. Chiefs Kingdom gives you that little bit of protection. You're our guy. Frank Clark don't feel like one of our guys. Didn't draft him. Do all this stuff. It just, I don't know if they count the same. I will say this, though. I do think that Sporting might have you beat, though. Sporting might be the only one that might have you beat, Grant. This is why. Sporting fans are going to be out there regardless. They're going to be out there regardless. It doesn't matter if it's 20 degrees or 100 degrees outside. They're filling up Sporting Park. That might be the only one. But I don't know if Sporting fans are traveling the way that K-State fans would travel. I don't know if that translates the same way as it does to a college environment. If I'm being honest, I think K-State fans are the best fans among us. I think they're the best fans among us. A loyal group. You don't know a K-State fan that didn't go to K-State. Like, I cheer for Missouri. I did not go to Mizzou. My parents didn't go to Mizzou. I just lived in Missouri. It made sense I didn't live in Kansas. I didn't cheer for him. If you're a K-State fan, you either grew up in the area, you went, or your parents went. Nobody casually picks up K-State. Nobody. Not a single one of you that grew up in Kansas City who didn't go to the three schools woke up one day and was like, hey, you know what? I really like Michael Bishop. I'm going to cheer for K-State, but I'm not going to K-State. It's not how it went. Now, you might have liked Michael Bishop and then decided to go to K-State because of it. Every single person that's a K-State fan went to K-State. That's different than the other two schools. Very different. So, Grant, you know what I want to tell you? I want to tell you that you guys are the best. You guys are the best among us.
Thanks.
Now, you guys got your problems, but you guys are the best among us. I will give you that.
I appreciate it. Means a lot.
You know what? That's why I'm here.
Means a lot. You know?
I'm here to provide inspiration for you and yours. That's why I'm here. Coming up on the other side, we'll keep talking college football. The season is upon us. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get off my bumper. Traffic.
Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. Eastbound I-70 right at about 40 Highway. Multiple cars got together there. Left two lanes are shut down. That is not helping at all. You're still backed up all the way to 435. Closed down again after 291 southbound 49. Still slow all the way through Grandview starting at Harry Truman Drive. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. I'm Jay Edwards, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper, traffic.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up, we'll answer your questions, 913-576-7610. Go ahead and put them in the chat. Put them on the text line. We will answer your questions. We had a whip around. Gabe DeArmond, Scott Chasen, and John Kurtz covering Missouri, Kansas, and Kansas State. Let's head to the phone lines right now. Be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Let's talk some college football as we are at the official start of the college football season. Let's start with my favorite college football team, the Missouri Tigers. Very happy to be joined by a good friend of mine. His name is Gabe DeArmond. He does great work for PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, I know they say that this is the official start of the college football season, but it really was last week watching Nebraska embarrass themselves.
A little bit, yeah. It was actually funny. I tried to watch that game and couldn't. I didn't get it down here for some reason, which is too bad. I enjoy going back and watching a recording, but that was the only game between like people we'd heard of, so I felt like college football really started last night.
No, it absolutely did between Ohio State and Minnesota. Great slate this weekend. Missouri opens their season at home against Central Michigan. Let's just start big picture with Missouri. What is your expectations? What would be a good season for the Tigers?
7 would be fine. 7-5 would be okay. 8-4 would be good. You know, less than 7. I mean, I'm not going to say 6-6 is a disaster, but I think people would be disappointed a little bit. Anything above 8 is I mean, you're kind of hitting the ceiling at that point, because I think the realistic for ceiling for this team is 9-3. That's if everything goes right. So I've got it set there at 7 or 8, I think, is kind of, you go in, and if you get to 7, you feel all right about how things went.
I look at two games as sort of being those swing games for Missouri. They play Kentucky the second week of the season. They play them on the road. That's obviously going to be difficult. Missouri just can't beat Kentucky. Haven't really matched up that well against them since they made the switch to the SEC. And then they go on the road to play Boston College in a non-con game that's a little abnormal for Missouri. I look at those as being those two games that can really kind of swing Missouri's season. That could be the difference between the 6-7 or the 8 or 9.
Yeah, and I would throw Arkansas and Tennessee in that discussion too, because I think the rest of the games, you've got three games that you really aren't going to win most times. You've got five that you really should win most times or all times. So you've got the two you mentioned, and then Arkansas and Tennessee. And I know Missouri fans would say, well, we beat Arkansas 5 times in a row. Well, by that logic, Kentucky's beat you 5 of the last 6. So, and then the argument is, but we beat Kentucky last year bad. Well, Tennessee beat you last year bad. So, those games are all kind of similar talent levels, I think. I mean, if we're being honest, Kentucky has more talent than Missouri does. I'm not familiar enough with BC yet to say, but I know they've got a pretty highly regarded quarterback. And I think Missouri's going to be underdogs in both those games. So, yeah, if you beat Tennessee and Arkansas, that if you lose both those games, it puts you at 7-5, which is kind of why I set that bar right there. I'll be interested to see if the schedule, the way it works out for Missouri, is tough, because you get Kentucky in week 2 on the road. You get BC in week 2 on the road. This is still a fairly young team, and it's probably going to get younger over the next year or two. So, those are tough tests early on. You'd almost rather say, just give us Georgia and Florida at the beginning. Let us take our lumps, but then give us Kentucky and BC in like week 7 and 10, when we've got our feet under us a little bit and some of these kids have gotten a little more experience.
Right now we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, I'll get you out of here with this. I don't know if there is a person that is better equipped to answer this question, maybe in the world, to be completely honest with you about it.
I think there probably is. I don't know what the question is, but I think there probably is.
No, I think you might be this. When was the last time that you can remember that MU fans were this hopeful about either their football or basketball program? Because I'm thinking right now, when it comes to Eli Drinkwitz, the optimism, the buzz that's surrounding this team, you know Missouri fans, they're naturally pessimistic and I'll say negative people. Everyone seems to be in 100% agreement on what Eli Drinkwitz is doing, and everybody seems to be happy right now who cheers for Missouri.
Yeah, well, basketball's easy. Basketball was, for those 106 seconds, Michael Porter was on the floor, right? I mean, the potential.
It was great, though, to be honest, though, Gabe. I mean, it was that whenever he committed and watching him play for 3 times up and down the court, oh, it was great.
Right. Those 6 months were, it was almost the flip of what's going on now. Like, I have people say, everything we talk about here is football. It's like nobody talks about basketball. Well, I remember in 2017, like, it was, football recruiting season leading up to football, and everybody's like, just get me to November 10th. That's what it was like. But football, the last time I think Missouri fans were this excited was 2008. You were coming off that 07 season. You had a lot of people coming back. You had the quarterback coming back. You had Jeremy Maclin. I think Sean Weatherspoon was still on that team. And so you had lost some stuff. You lost Rucker. You lost Lorenzo Williams. You lost Pig Brown. But still, kind of the thought there was, I think they were preseason number 4, and that was kind of the only time in my lifetime that Missouri has started a football season and the fans really thought, we have a chance to play for the national title. Now, obviously, it didn't happen. But going into 7, going into 13, nobody thought that. I don't think anybody even really thought it in 2014. So I think it was 08 was the last time that Missouri fans were this excited about football. And I've been kind of the wet blanket this offseason. I've been saying, you got to understand, I know you're not used to recruiting this way. You should be excited about the recruiting. But it doesn't help this team. I mean, yeah, Mookie Cooper helps this team. Dom Lovett helps this team. But a lot of these kids aren't going to play this year. If they do play, they're going to be kind of easing their way in. Next year's class is not here, obviously, yet. I mean, that's a profound statement, right? So this recruiting, it's going to help a little bit more next year. And I think 2023 is when it really kicks in, because then you've got three or four classes like this if he keeps doing this. So, you know, you're right. Everybody's super excited and all that, and you see it online. And I'm interested to see what that translates to Saturday, because I'm already getting a lot of, well, but it's Labor Day weekend, it might rain, and, you know, there's other good games on TV, and it's only Central Michigan. So I'll be interested to see. I mean, they are giving away tickets all over town. I don't think Missouri's going to be at 50,000. And considering all the talk and all the excitement, like, that's going to have to get backed up by actual action sometime here soon. You know, just tweeting about how exciting it is and posting on Power Mizzou, don't get me wrong, I don't want to discourage anyone from doing that, but there has to be more to it than that.
That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, always appreciate the insight. Thanks for hopping on today.
Have a good one, man.
Absolutely. That's Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Let's head to Missouri's rival, and let's head to Lawrence, Kansas, and be joined by Scott Chasen, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Scott, what are the expectations for Kansas as we head into this football season?
You know, I think expectations are realistically low. I don't think too many people are counting on Kansas to win more than a game or two. I think the Vegas over-under has definitely tempered some of those expectations. And I think there's realism now from Kansas fans who have been through enough coaching changes and just have seen the team, you know, not win three games in, you know, 11 years. So I think expectations are low. I do think they're high for tonight, just because, I mean, first of all, the line opened at Kansas is like a 15.5-point favorite. Now, it's since been bet down, but I think people want to see Jason Bean, the new quarterback. I think people are really excited for Devin Neal. It's not often you get, you know, a four-star prospect, obviously. Not often you get the highest-rated prospect in the history of your program, and then you get him from right in the city. So I think people are very excited, high expectations for tonight, weather notwithstanding. And then I think for the season, the expectations are probably a little more realistic.
And that's good. One thing I always say about Kansas, at least in these first couple of years, it's not like you really got to hand the fan base a whole lot in order for fans to be happy. I think fans eventually want to get back to maybe not what they were in the 06, 07, 08, but certainly you can be competitive. You can make bowl games. You can just really upgrade yourself as a program. If KU could win three games this year, but more importantly, if they could just be more competitive, you know this covering the team, just too many times they go out there and just get absolutely destroyed where you know going into second half they don't have a chance to win. That might be step one to turning things around for Kansas, is just simply being more competitive.
Yeah, I mean, Les Miles was getting a parade thrown for him for year one when, you know, they won three games and they were close in a bunch of others. They led Iowa State in the fourth quarter. They led Texas in the fourth quarter. They lost five-point games to a bad loss at the time to Coastal Carolina and to West Virginia. I mean, people parade that team out there and say, hey, that was things turning around. That was things looking better. And you know, it's funny to think about. Again, that was a three-win team. And, again, they haven't hit that four-win mark in so long. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even think fans are asking for three wins this year. I think they'd be thrilled with it. I think they just want to see progress, especially after the last year. You know, Jalen Daniels, who started games as a 17-year-old freshman at quarterback for KU a season ago, how he's been described to me this year is having, you know, really happy feet in the pocket and not being comfortable. And one coach told me he's suffering basically from the PTSD of last season and how bad the offensive line was, and basically not being able to sort of go into things and trust his new teammates or trust that the players have improved. And I think Kansas fans are sort of in that similar boat where, you know, they saw how bad it got last year. They saw how bad it was, I believe, in 2015, the first year of the David Beatty era when they didn't win a game. Like, they've seen that, and they're just terrified, I think, of seeing that again. So I think that's why you get the more reasonable expectations, more tempered expectations. But, yeah, I mean, look, if Kansas comes out and wins this game, wins another non-conference game, I mean, the pressure is off for the season. I mean, at that point, you know, it's basically whatever you do, just don't be embarrassing. And I think for year one, that flies. Now, obviously, year two, year three, that doesn't fly, especially because I think there is some talent on the roster. But year one, at least, I do think that flies.
That is Scott Chasen, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Scott, appreciate you hopping on, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Scott Chasen joining us on the show today. Let's head to the phone lines right now for our final guest. He is a dear friend of mine. His name is John Kurtz. He works at K-Man in Manhattan, Kansas. John, how's it going?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. See, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. John, can you imagine
all you have to do as a college football coach is win one, maybe two games and just not be embarrassing and everybody say that you did a great job?
Well, I mean, look.
That's great, though. You know what I mean? That's the position we all want to be in at work.
Well, Les Miles was in that position, and he couldn't even do it. So, you know, sometimes that's a little more tricky than you make it out to be, C-Dot.
Right now we're talking to John Kurtz. He is with K-Man in Manhattan, Kansas. So let's talk about your team. Let's talk about the K-State Wildcats. You're heading down to the game. Let's start with this. How many people are you expecting to be down in Dallas this weekend?
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. Gene Taylor throughout the, I would say, a pretty optimistic estimation that he was hoping for 30,000. Based on what I've been hearing about ticket sales, I think that is optimistic, although if you do want to have some optimism on that front, it's the fact that tickets on the secondary market are really cheap right now. I mean, you can get a ticket. If you have a $10 bill, you're going to be able to get into the game. It's a huge stadium, obviously. Stanford's not bringing anybody, and I don't think the people of Dallas are all that interested in it either. So I think you may get more fans than K-State was anticipating just from the ticket sales because of that, because the actual tickets, if you were buying them right off the bat, right from the jump, they were way too expensive. I know K-State wasn't thrilled with what the ticket price was set at by everybody with the Cowboys. So, you know, I think if K-State can get 30,000 people there, which you'd assume that 90% of that is going to be K-State fans, I think that'd be fantastic, and you would definitely take that.
What are your expectations for the season? You have two big home games, and as much as college football is about talent, it's also about schedule. Oklahoma's at the crib, Iowa State also at home for K-State. Skylar Thompson back this season. You got a really talented player in Deuce Vaughn. I think K-State's a little bit undervalued, even locally here. What's your expectation for the Wildcats this season?
Yeah, I've been sitting pretty firm on 7-5, 8-4 is the vibe that I get. I feel like they'll be pretty similar to Chris Klieman's first team in 2019, when he just had an opportunity to have a non-COVID season, actually have his starting quarterback for the entire year. And some of that is dictated by the schedule. I mean, I would be inclined to go higher if not for what's a tricky non-conference schedule and what is coming up at the beginning of the year in conference play, because they've got Stanford. Obviously, that's kind of a toss-up game right now. K-State's about a field goal favorite. Then they're going to play Nevada, who has a potential first-round pick quarterback in Carson Strong and a really good team. So that's going to be a tough game in a couple of weeks. And then conference play starts at Oklahoma State and then Oklahoma and Iowa State back-to-back. So the first six games here are really, really tough before the schedule softens up on the back end. But, look, if you want optimism, you have a 24-year-old starting at quarterback right now in Skylar Thompson. I think you love the experience that he brings back, and he's a guy that's won three games against top 10 teams throughout his K-State career, so it's certainly not beyond him to go out and beat Oklahoma or Iowa State this year. Deuce Vaughn, we've all seen the skill. He's also just, from a mental standpoint and like a leadership standpoint, just a dream, everything you could ever want for a coach, so I think that really helps out. And if Malik Knowles can stay healthy at receiver, I think he's a first-team All-Big 12 kind of talent. He's just never been able to stay healthy at all, and they're saying the right things as far as that goes right now. So there's where the optimism lies on offense. Defensively, a lot of holes. Linebacker in particular is one of the things that really holds me back from going higher on the win total for this team. They're going to need to get some decent linebacker play, and that is a massive question mark right now. But a revamped secondary could be one of the strengths of the team, particularly Julius Brents from Iowa, the future pro that they got as a transfer there. Going to really help out. So I'm thinking 7-5, 8-4 right now.
John, I know that we both probably got a lot of Perry Ellis age jokes off over the last couple of years. The fact that Skylar Thompson gets a discount on his car insurance because he's old enough, that's not good, man. You know that.
Well, okay. Did you watch K-State's quarterback situation the last six games of last year, though, C-Dot?
I did watch it. No, and the thing is, I actually like Skylar Thompson, but he's 32 years old. You guys got Chris Winkie starting for you guys.
Didn't Chris Winkie, he was a Heisman finalist, wasn't he? Or he won the Heisman, right? He took it away from Josh Heupel. So I think you're just gassing up Skylar Thompson. I think you're making the opposite point that you're trying to make here.
You guys got Brandon Whedon starting for you guys. The guy's 52 years old. I can't believe this. You're sitting here reproving this. He shouldn't even be eligible to play against 18-year-old. Last thing here, Chris Klieman. Are K-State fans still optimistic, still hopeful in Chris Klieman? Got off to a great start last year. Maybe didn't go the way you had anticipated, but obviously a massive injury. Where are K-State fans? What's the pulse right now with Klieman?
I think maybe back to kind of where it was at the beginning which may not be totally fair because, again, last year with the quarterback and COVID, I mean, they really did just get crushed. And I don't want to sit here and make excuses for everything because there were certainly some things that still could have been better and they could have kept it together better. But, you know, first-year defensive coordinator who was also trying to work with these guys and not being able to meet with them as much as you normally would because of all the COVID restrictions, I just think there was a lot happening there. And I think most fans have a lot of grace and forgiveness for that. But at the same time, it's just been so long since the team tasted any success. I mean, their last win was against Kansas, and that was on October 24th of last year. And they not only lost out, but there were some blowouts in there to Iowa State, which really hurt, and then Texas giving up 69 points at the end of the year. So combine that with recruiting that's been definitely a step above what Bill Snyder was doing, but not the two or three steps that I think fans really wanted to see by this point. And it's kind of back to just, I think, some cautious optimism, but they really need a 7 or 8-win season at least this year just to kind of restore faith all the way around. Now, how much does the fan support really matter all that much with Chris Klieman's contract extension that he got last year? It really doesn't matter too much because K-State is financially tied to him for a while. So, but if you do want the fan support, I think 7 or 8 wins this year would be really the bar.
That is John Kurtz. He does fantastic work for K-Man out in Manhattan, Kansas. This might be the first time that you're actually younger than K-State's quarterback, so that's cool.
Yeah, it is, and I just had a birthday too. I did, so... I'll take it. Hey, one last thing, C-Dot. I'm just going to tell you this. Donda is a more dynamic album than CLB. That's all I got to say.
Bye, John. I'm not putting up with this foolishness today. We're not putting up with any of that foolishness today. I don't have any interest in it. Grant, we got to shut it down. Grant, when you feel like things are going off the track that way, you have my permission to just hang up on them. Like, don't even let it, don't, like, quality control, you know?
Just get all the bad ideas out early.
Yeah, just come on now. Like, that's not the energy that I'm on. That's not the kind of time I'm on today. The score is still 7-0 between Virginia Tech and North Carolina. Text line 913-576-7610. This is typically where we would play the open for Ask Us Anything. Grant doesn't know where the open is, so just imagine the music in your mind, and that's how this segment's going to go. Text line 913-576-7610. Who makes you happiest losing? Is it... Oh, here the open. You found it.
I was able to pull it out of nowhere, thin air. Dumb luck.
Yes, I thought so too.
Who makes you happier losing? Kansas basketball in March, Nebraska football on Saturday, or the Broncos on Sunday? Oh, it's Kansas. It's not even close. Seeing their fan base unhappy makes me happy. It warms my spirit to see them unhappy. Nothing makes me happier in sports than watching them lose. Grant, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. Of those three, for sure. Like, it's not really an argument. Just because they get all mad on Twitter.
Oh, it's great. Watching them, like, melt down in front of themselves and question how good they are at basketball, it excites me. Text line 913-576-7610. What's your plan for the weekend? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really have any, honestly. I am hosting tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio. I'm hosting on Monday on CBS Sports Radio. And that's it. That's all I got. A lot of football. I'm excited for the football. I'm excited to actually go home and watch this Virginia Tech North Carolina game. Like, I'm actually really excited to watch it when I leave here from talking to you guys. I don't have much else today. I know we have to leave here soon. Grant, it was an honor and a pleasure working with you today.
You showed K-State a lot of love today. We appreciate it.
I like K-State. I think they're fine people. I think they're fine people. I'll catch you guys on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.